Morning, everybody. Bear with me one moment. I'm setting some things up. All right. Okay, so today we are going to be continue going through the book of Romans. Today we're in Romans chapter 14. We're going to be going over verses 1 through 9. Title of this message is Receive One Another in the Faith. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Hang on, guys. Try again. All right. Bear with me, everybody. I have to close this. Okay, I'm going to start it again. Speaking. Start recording. Start streaming. Okay, well, moving on. Looks like my other channel's not working. So, like I said, receiving one another in the faith, Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Let's start in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, for they are many. As a matter of fact, we can do nothing but sin. But because of your imputed righteousness given to your people, we are free from the law and under your grace. We ask that you would help us today in your word as we open it up, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would grow in the knowledge and grace of you, and we'd know how to answer everybody about the hope that lies within us with gentleness and respect. We continue to pray for the body of Christ scattered about the face of the earth, and for the local assemblies wherever they are, that you'd strengthen them, Father, the pastors and all of the members of the local congregations. And then we pray for the cities that we live in, that you would establish a gospel church for your people, what would be a refuge, and they can come to you, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, Romans 14, verses 1 through 9. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So that's the reading of the scripture today. And this morning I caught a little bit of Bill Parker's sermon. I believe it was in the same chapter. Now, in the body of Christ and in the local gospel assemblies, because majority of places out there are false. That's a truth that a lot of people don't know. But there's babes. There's people at every stage. Hang on, bear with me while I make sure the volume's all the way up, guys. So we have believers at every stage in the faith, right? In Christ. There are babes in Christ. For example, let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, 1 Peter. And what does it say? It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Okay? We have babes in Christ, like I just quoted from 1 Peter 2, 2. There's children, young, mature, and old. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I'm sorry about that, Brandon. I'll have to save this and send it to you. Okay. Now, John is writing to the believers, and he says, I write unto you, little children. There's the little children we first talked about, babes in Christ, right? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. That's in verse 12 of chapter 2. For his name's sake. Everybody in Christ, our sins are forgiven. Regardless of, it doesn't matter what stage we are in learning or in growing, we are in Christ. We're right where he wants us. Okay? Then he goes on to say, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, it can mean fathers. There can be a few different things that it can mean. But let's just take it for what it says, fathers, right? You have babes, you have young men, mature men, old men, fathers, you know, mothers. But anyways, he goes on to say, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. That's 1 John 2, 12 and 13. Now, there are also, let's go to Hebrews 5:14. There are also those that are mature in the faith, right? And those of full age who are able to eat the strong meat of the word, who by reason of use, that's knowing the word, being taught, trained, growing in the knowledge and grace, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Yeah, there's people out there preaching a false gospel. And there are people out there preaching the true gospel. Most people think, oh yeah, he's preaching the gospel. And we hear it all the time. Well, that's, you know, Joel Osteen, Katie Jakes, Paul Washer, John MacArthur, all these people, and they're like, they're preaching the gospel. No, they're not. But, and if you know the difference, and if you're seasoned in the word, and you're in Christ first and foremost, and the Spirit of God is teaching you these things, you can be able to discern the difference. That's what Paul says in Hebrews 5:14. Let's read the verse. But strong meat, let's start at verse 11. I want to share this. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. There are Hebrews that were dull of hearing, obviously. They're stubborn, right? Because Paul says, for the time ye ought to be teachers. In other words, hey, they've been in the word long enough to where they can be teachers. He says, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle. So like the elementary things, right? He says, of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Milk is for babes, right? We just read that in 1 Peter 2:2. So, but strong meat, he says, for everyone that uses milk, I'm sorry, verse 13, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, right? That's how babes are. They can get fooled. They can get tossed about. They believe most of what they hear, not knowing, you know, just like we are as natural men. You know, we think, hey, people are nice. No, people are. I was listening to Scott Price this morning, and he was saying I think it was his wife or his sister or someone, that people are mean. You know, it's the problem is people. And that's true, that people are wicked. You know, all men are. So it says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, so they know the difference. Now, seeing that we're in various stages of knowledge, it's best that we should be gracious to one another. You know, whether you know a little, you know a lot, or you know nothing. The thing is, we should be gracious to all men. Especially to unbelievers. Now, that's not what saves them, how we treat them. They're saved by the purpose of God according to election. If he has ordained them unto glory, they're a vessel of mercy, they'll be saved. Because in religion, you hear people saying, Let them see the Jesus in you, right? And there's no such thing, because when Christ came, they didn't see him, right? His own rejected him. The nation, those who were ordained under condemnation, they rejected him, right? So as we're gracious to all men, we must know that it's the grace alone. It's only the grace of God alone that causes anyone to differ. That's 1 Corinthians 4:7. I'll take you there and read it real quick. And it says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" See, what do you have, you know? Anything you have has been given to you of God, right? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received? In other words, hey, if it was given to you, why are you acting like you had it all along? No, man, when it comes to gifts of God, they're given by God. They're not merited by the behavior of men. Okay? So, going back to the various stages of knowledge within the body, the thing about men, whether they're saved men or lost, wherever they are, at their place and their stage in life has been determined by God. And that's Acts 17:26. God determines the boundaries and habitations of all men all over the face of the earth, right? He made all men from one man, from Adam, right? Adam is the father of men. So people are where God has them. It's not, oh, I should be there or I should have been there. No, this is where God has you. We cannot tell the Creator where we want to be or where we'd like to be. I remember when I was young, I used to tell my mom, yeah, Mom, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to get married, have a family, kids. And she said, don't make plans, mijo. God has other plans for you. And our plans are not his plans. The scripture even tells us our thoughts and our ways are not like his are. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts above ours, right? So, here's the thing. There's going to be disputations, right? There's going to be disagreements, arguments. Now, one thing I hate, I despise, is for people to tell me, well, I agree to disagree. That's just, I disagree. I don't agree to disagree. I disagree. Cut through the, whether I obviously don't agree with you. Why would I agree to disagree? No, I disagree. That's just a side brain fart. But so we have disagreements, right? But these disagreements, these disputations, they seldom produce or beget unanimity. In other words, unity in the body. They break them up. They're schisms. They're, you know, factions. And that's part of the reason why there are so many different denominations in the body. You know, you got Baptists. You have Primitive Landmark Baptists. You got Sovereign Free Grace. You have all these different names, right? But there's only one body, one Lord, one faith, one God, right? That's what the scriptures tell us. So when we disagree with another person, we shouldn't force them or pressure them, say, hey, you just got to see it my way. We have to look at the scriptures, rightly divide them. Nevertheless, like Paul said in Galatians 4:30, what saith the scriptures? Because if we try to bully people, that's bullying, into believing what we think, right? It's not going to work that way. And we're going to be a stumbling block to others. And then we're going to cause them to doubt what they believe and what they know. And God, and in the end, God teaches his people what he wants them to know according to his purpose and in his time, right? So, and that's the thing about the knowledge of God. He teaches his people as he sees fit. Yeah, there are those, like Paul said in Hebrews, that should know. But at the same time, they didn't. But we still should aspire to learn, to grow in the knowledge and grace of God, right? Now, he allows heresies to happen within the body as well. Matter of fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 11:19 that heresies will abound among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest. In other words, in an assembly, there's people that are going to be divisive. They're going to always be causing problems, right? Paul said in Acts 20:29 that from among you, grievous wolves are going to enter in and try and get you to follow themselves. Paul told them that when he left, when he was in Ephesus. Okay, so it's those that are mature, that are full age, and they Normally they're like a deacon or an elder or even a pastor. And there's mature believers. We know that. The scripture just told us that. We can see error, whether it's on the horizon, coming in, or in the midst. We don't allow it. We check it, right? And we're supposed to. We're supposed to protect the flock, especially the pastors, right? Now, an example is being a man who says that he made a decision to receive. Are you a believer? Yeah, I made a decision to receive Christ. Like me, I used to say that. April 28th, 1996. That's when I was saved. Because I did something. No, that's false, right? I thought I had free will. There's no such thing. I thought God loved all men. No such thing. The scripture teaches a particular and a limited atonement for the people of God, right? Only. Matthew 1:21. He shall save his people. Not all of them were his people. He told the Pharisees in John 8, you're not of my father. You're of your father, the devil, right? You're not, you might be from Abraham, but you're part of the lost seed. You're not the seed of promise, okay? So when men, a believer, a true child of God will put no confidence in his flesh, but we trust in Christ, in his imputed righteousness given to us on because of him, what he did, because he shed his blood on behalf of his people. That was efficient, the efficacy, right? So now moving on past the intro, the first point is to receive one another in the faith. Now, like I said earlier, we hear of disagreements and fights in the body all the time, especially in the age of social media, right? Even still, if we're involved or a part of it, we should still be gracious to others. Bear with me. I'm going to see if I can do something here, guys. Hold on. Let's cast her OBS. I don't know what's going on. Oh, well. I'll have to try later. But in spite of that, we should still be gracious to people, whether we agree or disagree. That's the thing. And we shouldn't be preferable to a person because it's our family. For example, nowadays, anybody who dies, everybody puts them in heaven. Now, we can't put a person in heaven or out of heaven, but if they did not profess Christ, the scripture says they're condemned. They condemned themselves. It turns out they ended up being a vessel of wrath, not a vessel of mercy. So when we have disagreements, we shouldn't attempt to force others to believe and see it the way we do, right? We should be gracious. And sometimes they might be wrong or we might be wrong, and God hasn't given light regarding the matter, right? But as we learn, we put aside those things. That's why Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Children don't know everything. They know some things, and they're taught, but they grow along the way. They learn more and more, right? Okay, so as we grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord, we can help more. You know, we can see how bad we are in our natural self, and then we can see how gracious God is, and then we can share that with others. Okay, so you have to be careful though, because illumination isn't regeneration. For example, I used to teach a Bible study at my work years ago, I think in the 90s, and everyone said, "Oh man, that's great and that's good," and I'm like, but I was teaching a false gospel, and I was promoting that. So just because you know the word does not mean you know God, and you're not regenerated, you're not born again, right? The letter, you can know the letter. The Pharisees knew the letter. Jesus, you know, Paul said the letter killeth, but the spirit makes alive, right? So we have to be careful about that. And there's many in our day who quote, like, they call themselves reformers, or the Reformation, the five solas of the Reformation. That wasn't from the Reformation. That's been around all since God gave us his word, which is grace alone, Christ alone, God alone, scriptures alone, faith alone, right? The five solas. There's a lot of people you see, like whether it's MacArthur or Lawson or Vaudi Bachman, all these people who claim to believe these things, but then they compromise, right? We're not to compromise. As a matter of fact, we're to mark those men that are divisive. They're the kind of guys that talk out both sides of their neck. They say, "Oh, I love Jesus," and Jesus died for a limited number, but then he said, oh no, Jesus loved all people. His atonement was efficient for anybody. No. It's only efficient for his people, right? That blood doesn't lose its power, but that power of the blood is for a particular group of people from every kindred, nation, tribe, and tongue. His elect, vessels of mercy, right? So, unlearned babes and others are all vulnerable at one time or another. Let's go to Romans 16:17. And it says, now I beseech you, I had told you earlier to mark them. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine ye have learned, and avoid them. So you're going to be around that. The longer you're in Christ, the more you'll see and be exposed to and around. Lies, when it comes to lies, gospel lies, right? People saying they have a gospel and it's a false gospel versus a true. They always are mixed with the truth. That's why I said they'll say, hey, Christ alone, grace alone. But then they add to it. Like that Coke commercial, and if you add or take from the scriptures, you suffer the curses that are written therein, right? Many of these things, they sound good. They're like, oh yeah, like the Stephen Lawson, you must be willing to give up everything to follow Christ. Oh yeah, that sounds good to religious people. Yeah, but who does that? Nobody does that. I'm not going to leave my family and my house and everything to do something and then end up being wrong, and I did it all in vain, right? So these things they say are damning. Let's go to Jude chapter. It's only, there's no chapter. It's just one book, right? Verse 4 says, he starts off in verse 3, and he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That salvation is common amongst God's elect. It's not common grace. Okay, there's a difference. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was once delivered. You're in. That's it. It was delivered. Now you have to learn. For there are certain men crept in unawares. They got in. They made it in the door. Right? What did they do? And who are they? They were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. That's what it says, right? Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You can do whatever you want, right? And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perishing in the gainsaying of Korah. Their end is hell. Hell's their end. That's their reward. They're already condemned. It said that in verse 4, right? Or verse 3. Let me see. Wait. Jude. In verse 4. Okay. So, moving on, my next point, it says, for one believeth that he may eat all things. That's Romans. Let's read that so it's fresh in your mind. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. I'm that guy. I believe I can eat everything. Then it goes on to say, the weak is the one who is eating the herbs, right? It says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. So if I eat everything, and this guy is like a vegan. Oh man, you got to be vegan. Now I can be mad at you because you're a vegan. That's more meat for me, right? And I would hope that the vegan doesn't look down on me for eating meat. And we do this to each other. Oh, you're a vegan, man. Have tofu and vegetables, whatever. I'm going to eat some meat. And then they're like, but meat, is the way they mass produce it. I saw a video the other day of a pig farm, and there was like thousands of pigs, and they had this big, giant pit, gigantic pit. And this, it was some kind of a bulldozer or a heavy equipment, an earth mover. It had a shovel. It's called a bucket, right? Big old bucket on it that it scoops up dirt, picks it up and dumps it. Well, it just swung through the crowd of pigs and pushed them all into a pit. And they're like, yeah, I mean, farming, what they do to animals, you got to kill them, right? I mean, if we're going to eat them. And unfortunately, to some people, that's a big turnoff. And I can understand that. It may seem cruel, but hey, you got to kill an animal to eat it, right? Even a vegetable has to die if you're going to eat it, if you want to go that far. But what was happening was that there was people were eating things, and then people weren't eating things, and the weak people weren't eating things because they felt bad. And I was saying, I heard Bill Parker talking about that this morning. You know, we have carnivores, omnivores. I'm an omnivore. I eat everything, right? We have vegetarians. We have vegans, like vegan, you know, no animal products, right? Catholics, Jews, Muslims, Seventh-day Adventists, all of these people have dietary restrictions except for the omnivores, right? And like I said earlier, I eat everything. Now, in Paul's day, the Jews had just came out of their dietary restrictions. You read the Old Testament, there was all kinds of unclean animals they couldn't eat. You know, the ones whose hoofs were split, like pigs, and I think they couldn't eat horses also, but tons of different animals that they couldn't eat. And then there were some that they could, right? So the Jews were coming out of this, but yet they knew that they could eat these things, that they had liberty. Now, here's the thing. The religionists, the false religionists of the day, they claimed to abide this. Like when I was a Catholic, you couldn't eat meat on Fridays, right? So every good Catholic ate fish. Seventh-day Adventists, I work with some, I know some, they're like, no, man, you can't eat pork. You can't eat, you know, because it's an unclean animal. Or you can't eat catfish because it's a bottom dweller. Well, good, I'll eat it, you know, I'll eat it. Now, and if someone does, they don't want to eat something, let them do it according to their conscience. But it doesn't matter to me. They're eating for themselves. I'm not eating what they're eating. I'm eating whatever I want. Let them, hey, you want to eat that? Go ahead. You know, yeah, I tell my kids to eat better, eat healthy, but they're still going to eat what they want to eat. And everybody is going to do that, right? So now when it comes to brethren, right, we should be gracious and forbearing with one another in regards to what we want to eat, right? Like I'm an advocate, I'm a health advocate, right? I like to encourage people to eat good, to exercise, to do these things. But it doesn't mean they're going to, you know? And I do it because it's my personal choice and I know I have liberty. But I'm not going to go to someone's house that does not eat pork and bring a big old fat, you know, ham or pastrami sandwich, knowing it's going to offend them. I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. So I just wait, you know, keep it in the car as soon as I get out of the house, I'm going to wolf down on it. Right? So, but from the context of this verse, we saw that it was those who were weak in the faith who were going after the ones that were strong in the faith. But they didn't know. And if you take them aside and you teach them and show them, hey, you're okay, you can eat these things. That's why Paul wrote this part of the scripture, this letter. And we call it a chapter here, but it's a letter. So, we shouldn't look down on somebody if we eat everything. And the ones who only eat vegetables or whatever it is they eat, we shouldn't look down on them, right? But yet, what happens? We do the same things today. But here's the key. God receives all of those that are His. So whatever you eat, you're still God's. You should do everything unto the glory of God. Yeah, that's what the scripture says. But and the thing to understand is that we're accepted by Him. So my next point is, who art thou that judges another man's servants? And that's verse 4 of chapter 14. Because it says, to his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. That's our master in the end. God is our master. He's the king. So let's go to, let's look at verse 13 of the same chapter. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let's go to Colossians 2:16. Paul wrote throughout Corinthians and Colossians, he wrote things about that because a lot of people are confused, especially the babes. They don't know, well, what can I eat? This is like when I first, the Lord first saved me and regenerated me and showed me the grant me repentance from dead works, a false gospel. And I saw the true gospel. I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, well, who do I listen to? If this guy's wrong and that guy's wrong and this means this and that means that. Now, I didn't know what to do, where to go. But God knows and He's able, right? That's what it says in that verse. God is able to make him stand. He caused me to stand and I'm grateful for that. So in Colossians 2:16, what does it say? It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Because people are like, oh, you know, you're not supposed to drink alcohol or you're not supposed to eat pork. And, you know, you shouldn't go to the movies. You know, don't smoke, drink, or chew or run what girls that do. You know, you can't go to these worldly, can't go to a concert, you know. religion is always doing that stuff. You know, not in my house. As for me in my house, we'll serve the Lord. They quote scriptures. You know, and it's like, bro, I have liberty to do what I want. And I want to let my brethren know, hey, you can do the same thing. Okay? But if you don't want to, that's your personal preference. Do it according to your conscience. If you don't like catfish, that's fine. If you don't like bacon, that's fine. Me personally, I love it. All right? So then, so Paul's telling him, hey, who are you to judge another man's servant? Don't worry about it. Let's go to James 4:12. James 4:12. And what does that say? There is one lawgiver. That's Christ the Lord, right? Who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Like I said before, I can't personally put someone in heaven or in hell. They do that on their own. But it's ordained of God where they go. Their final destination, right? If they're in Christ, they go to heaven. If they're out, they go to hell. If they do not profess Christ rightly, because there's a false Christ. Jesus himself warned his disciples of false Christians, of false prophets, of false teachers. When you know the difference, hey, you can rightly judge it, but it's God's prerogative to put them where they're going. We can't, you know, even though they're lost, they didn't profess Christ, hey, if God saved them, he saved them, but we just don't know. You know, I was talking to Stephen earlier this week, and he was saying, they probably said that about the thief on the cross. I said, well, they were right with one, because one went to hell and one went to heaven. You know, it just came to me right now. So, here's the thing. The strong are just as liable to fall as the weak. All of us. The just man falleth seven times, but the Lord upholds him, right? And that's what Paul's saying. The Lord upholds him. Nothing can hold up either but the power of God anyways. Whether they're a saved person or a non-saved person. And this is important because it shows that a man's standing is not in himself. Our standing is in Christ. In Christ or outside of Christ. That's it. Christ told a parable about a Pharisee and a tax collector. I heard Scott Price teaching that this morning too, a little bit, teaching on it. That's in Luke 18:9. Let's go there. Luke 18:9. And it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Remember the two went up to the temple. One man went up to the temple who was a publican. The Pharisee went up and said, you know, hey, you know, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. I tithe off everything, mint, cumin, anise. You know, I fast and I pray and da-da-da. The other guy said, hey, Lord, he wouldn't even look up, beat on his chest, said, Lord, have mercy on me, right? That's what I'm talking about. Peter was told what to eat when he went into that trance. Let's go there, Acts 10, verse 34 and 44. And it says, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Right? In verse 34. Because the Lord, let me see, I might have missed it. It's in verse 44. Yeah, I messed that one up. But basically what happened was the Lord, Peter fell asleep, went into a trance. That's what it says in the scripture, went into a trance. He saw a vision. There was a sheet, four corners coming down. And then the Lord told him, arise, get up and eat. And he's, because he saw clean and unclean animals, right? I'm not quite sure if I'm saying this right. But he told him, Lord, I've never ate an unclean animal. And then the Lord told him, hey, don't call unclean what I've made clean. So Paul here is reminding us that the most important thing we can do as believers is to bear with one another. The weak not to condemn the strong. Strong not to look down upon the weak. For being weak in that area regarding food. So we learn these things. And I really believe this is why Paul mentioned this later on in his epistles, that knowledge puffed up. Because sometimes knowledge puffs up. Sometimes people think because they know something, they're better. And that's not the case. If you know something, hey, be grateful you know it. But don't think, well, I'm better than you because I know this. So it's like, you know, you're not as smart as you think you are in the end anyways, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians so I can share that with you. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, okay? And it says, for if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? So like I said, if I went to someone's house and I know they didn't eat pork or they didn't eat bacon, I wouldn't say, hey, man, let's have some bacon. Let's barbecue some ribs. I wouldn't do that. But I'd let them know, hey, you know what? All things that God made are for us, and we have the liberty to eat them if we like. You know, I out of respect for you and your house, I won't do that. Okay, so this is what Paul is telling the saints at Rome. And this is in line with, you know, this is what he's telling. Like I said, it's also applicable to the saints of our day as well. You know, because what happened with Peter and Paul? Paul withstood Peter to his face in Galatians, right? Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14. Because here's an apostle. Peter already knew he could eat whatever he wanted. He had already been given that understanding. And then when he went to Galatia, he started hanging out with Jews. It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. This is an apostle confronting another apostle, right? Or a believer confronting another believer. And he said, for before that, certain came from James. They were Jews, right? And he ate with the Gentiles before that. But when the Jews came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. This is the Jews, right? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he withstood him. He said, hey, man, what's going on here? You know, he confronted him. So now, moving on in this portion, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Okay, let's go back to the text. And that's verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. It's like, hey, every day is the same as long as I get to experience it. Things are going to happen that are different. But whether it's my birthday, a holiday, you know, people say Easter, Christmas, Mother's Day, all of those, a lot of people get big. I mean, we know that the, what's it called? The industry that makes money, that profits from those, they love it. Like, they can't wait to get their stuff out in the racks at the stores, right? But it says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So, if you want to celebrate your birthday, celebrate your birthday. If you don't want to, don't. Me, personally, I tell everybody it's my birthday, and I love to celebrate. But you don't have to. Some people don't, okay? So, and I gave this scripture in my last one about Colossians 2:16. Let's go there again, because that said, let no man judge you, right? Meat or holy days. 2:16 says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Right? You got the Sabbatarians, the Seventh-day Adventists saying, oh, and the Russellites too. Well, the Sabbath is Saturday. If you go to church or assembly or synagogue or wherever you go on a Saturday, the Orthodox Jews still go on Saturday, right, to their synagogue. Then you're not a believer. They boot you out. Paul's saying, hey, let no man judge you. Paul squashed the opposition regarding foods, drinks, and festivals. He said, hey, and then he's telling them in Romans, hey, be persuaded in your own mind, in your own conscience, and then you'll have a clear conscience. Yet what do we see? We see that all of these things have carried over into our day as well. That's why I said, don't drink, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with girls that do, don't go to the movies, don't go to any worldly events. Well, how can I live in the world and still participate? You know, you have monks, you have monasteries and nunneries still, right, with the Catholics. You have the Amish and the Mennonites who, hey, we don't use electricity. They do everything, you know, by hand. They still ride around in horse and buggies and carriage because that's their belief. But they're wrong. You know, they can do whatever they want. And that's the thing Paul goes on to explain later on. As I said in my last point, nothing's changed. What's paramount, though, what's important is that we're gracious to people. We can say, hey, you don't have to do that, man. You know, you don't have to do that. Especially in the body of Christ. Knowing that what? That we're accepted in the beloved. You know, men will always be men. And they're always going to condemn you or love you, criticize you for your personal freedom, right? You got like the Second Amendment, the NRA guys. Yeah, man, I'm a gun-toting citizen, you know. Taxpaying citizen. Then you got You got the haters. Well, guns kill people, you know, people kill people, and yeah, that whole thing, right? It's just like that. Therefore, when you're persuaded in your own mind, like I said earlier, you have a clear conscience, right? In the end, we're to give thanks for all things, always as unto the Lord. And that's 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to go there real quick. Verses 28 through 32. And it says, if any man say unto you, and this is more along the line that Paul was talking to the guys about the food restrictions that they thought they were under. He said, if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. Okay? And for conscience sake. And what does he go on to say? For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's Psalm 24, verse 1. He goes on in, we're going to verse 32. He goes on to say, conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. So in other words, considering the other guy, not being a stumbling block to him. Okay? For why is my liberty, remember, we have liberty in Christ to eat what we want, eat and drink what we want. Okay? Why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? We shouldn't let that happen. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I gave thanks? In other words, hey, he gave God thanks. He can eat it. But it's a stumbling block to his brother, so he has to abstain at that time, in that moment. So whether then he goes on to say, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's also in Colossians 3:17 and 23, I believe. Then he goes on to say, give none offense. Don't offend people then. Hey, just be conscious of that. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Okay? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:10. And it says, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Now, 1 Peter 4:1 through 2. Let's go there. So I can hammer these points home to you guys. 1 Peter 4:1-2. And that says, for then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So in other words, this is about living for God. We want to honor God in whatever we do. Now, I don't want to be a glutton. I don't want to be a drunkard. But at the same time, I can eat food, you know. I can drink a beer. I can have some wine, you know. I can have a shot of whiskey or something if I want. And it's not going to condemn me or anyone else, right? Because I'm already kept by the power of God. I'm already in Christ. That's the thing we lack, I would say, a lot in teaching and preaching. And the false church is just beating the snot out of people with it. Don't drink. If you drink, you're not a believer. You know, if you do all these things, and it's a list of do's and don'ts. And here's the thing: we can't do all of them anyways. And if we think we do, we live by these laws and these rules, and we break one, we've broken them all. That's the standard is perfection. It's holiness. We don't get any more sanctified. I was reading some posts by Brother Scott Price, and he was saying, I saw he had like over 500 comments on this one thing, and people were saying, oh, you're not a true believer. You don't you're not dividing the word right. You're saying people can do this. And he's like, no, I'm not saying people can do this. We're not supposed to. But if we do, we're forgiven because we're in Christ. But they're saying, no. You got to keep the law. But then they backtrack and say, well, you have to do your best to keep the law. And it's like Christ has done that for us. Okay. So then, moving on. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:1. I read that in 1 Peter. Everything, and Paul had just quoted that earlier, everything on the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness and thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he founded it upon the waters, right? Psalm 24:1. And my last point, Paul quoted this. He quoted this psalm to the Corinthians when he was teaching and admonishing them in their liberties regarding food and in not causing others and themselves to stumble, right? We got liberty. But don't use your liberty as a cloak of unrighteousness, he says. So, it's God who determines the boundaries and habitations. I had said that earlier. That's Acts 17:26. He also, in Daniel, let's go to Daniel 4:34-35. This is something that people obviously don't know because they second guess their lives that they've lived and what's transpired, and they think, if I would have did this or did that, I wouldn't have missed this or blocked this. And it's like, no, this, look at what the scripture says. This is Nebuchadnezzar, who thought he built his kingdom. However he did it, however many people he trampled over, nations he conquered, people he killed and murdered, he says at the end of days, because he was turned into an animal, a wild beast, for 7 years. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. It's always been, okay? And all the inhabitants of the earth, everybody, all men, from Adam to the last person ever to live, are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You get that? God is the one who... all things are of God. It says that in the end of Romans. I believe it's Romans 11. It says all things are of God, right? Romans 11. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. So all things are of God, right? Make sure you know those things. Now, what does Psalm 76:10 says? Let's go there, because I'm going to mess it up. I have it written, but I kind of wrote it backwards. It says Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder shalt thou restrain. That's what it says. Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. So even the wrath of man praises God. So the things, the bad things, like look at Joseph and his testimony, right? With his, or his, the story about him. What his brothers counted for evil, God meant it for good. So, you know, if my brothers wouldn't have sold me into slavery, you know, and Potiphar's wife wouldn't have accused me of raping her, and if I didn't have to be in prison, and if the butler would have told Pharaoh about me, I would have been out sooner. No. All these things are ordained of God. We can't block his blessings or thwart his plan as if he has a secondary will. He has one will. He does whatever he pleases. I just read that in Daniel, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. You hear people sing that and say that. But the minute something happens that they don't like, somebody betrays them, stabs them in the back, cuts them off, causes them to miss what they thought was theirs, then it's their fault. You know, it should have happened. Or they didn't do something or did do something. Like, oh, I'm not in his will. All men are in his will. No matter where you are, what you're doing, all things are of God. We just read that at the end of Romans 11, right? In the end, all men will know that whatever happens in creation is according to his will and his good pleasure, not man's will. Man doesn't run the show. God does, right? He's God, not us. And even if you think you're not in the will of God, like that's the thing I hear people say the most. How do I know if I'm in God's will? You're alive. You're in God's will. You know what I mean? Whatever you're doing, you're in God's will. Well, it's not God's will for me to be here. Yes, it is. Do you know God's will? Are you God? Can you do, you know, what you think you should be doing? What if you do every single thing? I know people who have done everything supposedly the right way. Gone to school, got a degree, did all these things, doctorates, and can't get a job in their field. That's God's will. I can, you know, I know a dear brother online, his house burnt down, lost everything. Just the other day, his animals too, dogs and cats, and it's horrible. But it's still God's will. Now the body, I pray that the body will come together and help our brother, and we should. But these are all God's will. Thank God that him and his wife and his child were in the fire and they didn't die. What if his wife and child died in the fire? We don't know, but that's God's will. Whatever happens, right? The world is God's stage. All the world's a stage, right? We see things play out in time. Let's go to Matthew 10:29. What does that say? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? So the leaf, right? The leaf that blows in the air, the wind, he keeps the wind in a storehouse, the scriptures say, right? It's all of God, right? What makes a creature, what makes us think we can tell the Creator how to make us. Let's go back to Romans 9. What does he say? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formeth, hey, why hast thou made me this? Lord, why did you allow my mother to die? Why did you allow my dad to kill himself? Why did my brother die? Why did my other brother die? My sister die? Why did my friend die? Why did my friend just kill himself? You know, it's appointed unto man to die, but after that, the judgment. If God determines the boundaries and habitations of all men, he's the one that knows. We don't, right? We're not promised tomorrow, and the day sufficient is the evil for this day that we're in right now. So understand these things. We cannot change his plan for anybody, for a particular person, by what they do. That's just vanity to think you can change God's plan. Hey, if I do this and I do that, no, man, it don't work that way. And like I said, Nebuchadnezzar found out about that in that passage I read to you from Daniel 4, 34 and 35, I believe it was. Let me see. Yeah, Daniel 4, 34 through 35. Now, last point is, for Christ is Lord both of the dead and of the living. And that's Romans 14, 9. Let's read it. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, resurrected, right? That he might be, sometimes the scriptures use the word might, but he is. So, I mean, but it's in there. That's how it's translated. I don't really, obviously I have a little problem with it, but it's there and I'll read it and I'll explain what it means. That he might be both Lord, both of the dead and the living. But he is. He's Lord of all, right? That's what we sing. Crown him Lord of all. He already is, whether we do it or not. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 15. Read this. That he died for all, not all men, but all his elect. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we live for Christ. Whatever we do, right, we do it unto Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts 2, 36. What does that say? Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. He already was, but Peter was preaching to the crowd and letting them know that, right? That was right after Pentecost. Let's go to Acts 10:42. Okay, 10:42. I got quite a few scriptures here in my last point. I will give them to you, let you chew on them for a while. Acts 10:42 says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He's going to come back one day, right? He's going to judge the living and the dead. Dead people, our bodies die. They go back to the earth, but our souls are alive, right? We know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul says in one of the books of Corinthians. So if others are dead, they're awaiting the resurrection to be cast into hell or to go to heaven, right? So let's go to 2 Timothy 4:1. Give me some more scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:1. What does that say? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Right? He's coming back. We tell people. We warn people. So, we warn people because, hey, our time's short. It's a vapor, like I had said last week. But it's also encouraging for the believer because we're closer to our final destination, to being with Christ. Right? So we know that Christ is God. He's God. He's God the Son. He's the God-man. He's the second member of the triune Jehovah. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Paul says in Romans, right? The Godhead. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He had all power before he came to earth. The earth was created by him, we're told in Hebrews, right? But we're also told that all power was given to him by the Father after he was resurrected. That's in Matthew 28:18. We'll go there real quick. 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And that says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And there was the Great Commission, right? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Right? I had shared with you earlier about Psalms 24, verse 1. Now that we have this knowledge, and we know that all things are God, and that everything happens through Him, right? Of Him, through Him, and to Him. That was Romans 11:36. How He determines the boundaries and habitations of all men. That's Acts 17:26. He's God of the living and the dead, right? Even those who are dead in their bodies are awaiting the resurrection in order to be with God or in hell. That was John 5:29. Let's go there real quick. 529. What does it say? And let's start with 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good, that means those that are in Christ, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, the vessel of wrath, unto the resurrection of damnation. Right? Then we have Revelation 1:18. Let's go there. This is my last scripture for the day here. 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Remember, he died for the sins of his people, right? As a sacrifice, the Lamb of God. He took away the sins of his people, the world of his elect, right? And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He has authority, all everything. All power is his. So, knowing these things, just know that our times, the times of all men, are in His hands, right? Not our own. What we see as the good and the bad and the ugly in our lives and at times here below, they're all under His control. So that's all I have for today. Next week, we'll continue. Maybe able to finish this chapter. Well, no, maybe. We'll see. But we'll continue next week in Romans, starting with verse 10. So with that in mind, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that you would open our eyes, ears, and heart, that we might be built up in the faith, Lord, encourage and admonish one another. We continue to pray for your people, all of the members of the body of Christ, that we'd be strong in you, and the power of your might grow in the knowledge and grace of you. And we pray for your mercy and grace on our families, our lost loved ones. Lord, save them. Draw them to you by your grace, and then help us establish gospel assemblies in the cities where we live, Lord, that we might seek out more of your people where they are, Lord, that are scattered abroad that you have, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, until next week. See you.